Amen, amen. Woo, powerful. I want us to start today. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor, which means that I can do what I want. And so that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to do what God said to do. I want us to just, right now, we just sang some songs that were really powerful. And I believe the reason why they were powerful is we're reminded of who Jesus is by speaking the names of Jesus, the characteristics of Jesus, and the powerful things of Jesus. So we're just going to take turns. I'm going to repeat after you. If you're online, go ahead and type in a name. Give me a name of Jesus in the Word. Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, Counselor, Healer, Jehovah, Nisi, Rapha, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Savior, Good Shepherd, Jireh, Yahweh, Everlasting Father. Hey, if I say one of these, say amen, because if it's speaking to you, Everlasting Father. Anybody else? Breath of Life, El Shaddai, The Gate, Elohim, The Great Physician, amen. Jehovah Jireh. Anything else? Lamb of God, Lion of Judah. Anything else? The Word, Emmanuel, the Great I Am, Prince of Peace. Man, somebody likes that today. That's three times. Hallelujah. Somebody needs some peace in here. That's good. Amen. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. Wonderful. Love. The King, Counselor. Come on. Y'all got to say something here. Jehovah what? Saba, the battle fighter. Amen. Savior. I am. Root of David. The Good Shepherd. Master, Savior. King, cornerstone, amen, amen. I think that's good. I think that's good. We just had to call it out. Sometimes you just got to be reminded of who Jesus is. Names mean something. Names mean something. And when you speak out the names of Jesus, when you speak out those names, speak out those names to your situation, not as it is right now, but as it should be. Amen. Man, when you do that, it brings what we've been talking about. It brings hope. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings love. The Savior of the world came to us 2,000 years ago. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Not some big fat man with a big old beard or some shiny trees. But we came to worship the King of Kings. We came to bring. I just pictured it. Great job, Kenny. Where are you at, Kenny? Here you are. Great job switching. I loved you on the congas, or what are they called? The congas. Okay, cool. Yeah, djembe is by itself. So congas. I love that with a little triangle. I was ready to hand out some recorders, right? Hot cross buns, one a penny, two a penny. Yeah. Some kazoos, but no, it was right on. It was right on. It was sweet. But I pictured at that one song we were singing. I just, in my mind, it's a pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. You just hit pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, and just over and over again. And when God was saying that to my heart, I was just pa-rum-pa-pum. I was even saying it. It's because right now, I just pictured everybody in this house, you were bringing something to the Savior. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. You know, you just pa-rum-pa-pum. And you're just, what are you bringing? See, oftentimes we feel less than. We feel like we can't bring anything to God. But what He wants is your praise. What He wants is your worship. What He wants is your dedication. He wants your life. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. What I don't have, I don't have much to give you. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. But what I do have is I'll give you my song. Pa-rum-pa-pum. I'll give you my voice. Even it might not be good. And my wife says, turn off the mic, right? Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I'm going to bring you what I got. I'm going to bring you, pa-rum-pa-pum, my family. I'm going to bring you my situation. I'm going to bring you my finances. I'm going to bring you all the thoughts and the dreams. I'm going to bring you my brokenness. I'm going to bring you my heart. I'm going to bring you everything. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. We are giving something to our Savior. See, those wise men, they came and they traveled years. They traveled so far. Some people say as far as from Africa. Or even maybe somewhere in Egypt or somewhere in northern Africa, they said that there was multiple places they could have came from. And they traveled and traveled and traveled and traveled. And why did they travel? So they could just bring a gift to the Savior of the world. It doesn't matter how far or how hard the journey may be, you have to bring something to the Savior today. I don't feel like it. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm beat up. And I have just a little bit of hope. But I'm bringing it. I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing it to you. You know, this morning, oftentimes we come and we, it's just a mentality of being an American. And we come to consume. We came to consume. What is Pastor going to bring me today? What kind of word does God have for me today? What kind of, I hope worship is good today. I hope so-and-so isn't too loud or whatever. I hope, right? But we have this mentality, but the whole point you came today is to bring something to the Savior. You came to bring something to Him. Even if the music stinks, even if the pastor's acting a fool, I'm going to bring something to my Savior today. I'm going to be reminded that 2,000 years ago, the greatest gift ever came, and I've received it, so now it's my turn to bring Him gifts. Gifts of my life. You wonder why you're so talented or why you're so good at certain things, or why you're always drawn towards something, and like maybe you're artistic, or maybe you're musical, or maybe you're good with people, or maybe you're very intelligent, maybe you're good at figuring things out, or maybe you're just good at something. Maybe you're handy. Well, why do you think God did that? It's because that's the gift you're supposed to bring Him. And how do you bring it to Him? You give it to Him by being a servant. By being a servant, you serve others. You serve God and you serve others. That's what life's about. Okay? Amen? That literally has nothing to do with what I'm saying today. Hallelujah. I just felt that this morning when we were singing those songs. Some of those are so powerful. And we're saying words of who Jesus is. And then in the spiritual realm, I'm hearing pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And it's because we are bringing things to God. And oftentimes we come expecting God to give us something. And if you always are expecting God's hand, you're never going to get His face. You got to get intimacy with Jesus' face. And then you'll know what to do with what His hand gives you and places in your life. So come every single time to God, especially when you're gathering with more than two, because He's in the midst of us. But every time that you come to God, you need to make sure you're bringing Him something, okay? Even if you feel like it's nothing, do you remember the exchange is heavenly? It is not earthly. The heavenly exchange is this. Here's my filthy rags. Give me your righteousness. That's how it works. You come with filthy rags. You have nothing great to give God no matter what. That's why He has all this grace and all this mercy and His love endures forever. You come and you bring something to God. My filthy rags. See, you can't get righteousness unless you bring filthy rags. Come on now. You got to bring something to God to receive something from God. He is a transforming God. You want Him to transform before you ever bring Him something, but that's not how it works. You bring Him something to transform, right? You want to be lit on fire from God, but you've given Him nothing to burn, right? Give Him something to set on fire. And through the fire of God, there's purity. There's boldness, right? Purify us, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team and tech team. Welcome to First Open Bible, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hallelujah. Let's skip that page. Hallelujah. Can you believe we're at week 5 of our Advent series, The Promise? Seems like it went quick. Seems like we've been doing this for a while, but it also seems quick. Like life. Amen? Like, man, it's going by quick, but it does sometimes seem like it's dragging. Sometimes it's like a blink of an eye. What is a promise? It's an assurance that a certain thing will come to pass. The Bible's full of promises from God to his people. And there's one life-changing promise we celebrate every single Christmas. It's God's promise of a Savior. It's God's promise of Jesus. That's what we celebrate every Christmas. Today, we're at the last week of Advent. And this morning, may we be reminded that God stayed true to his promise by sending Jesus at Christmas. Fun fact, I know we just celebrated it right around this time, and I don't exactly know why, but some scholars believe that Jesus is actually born in the summer. So having Christmas in July is actually maybe a possible thing, right? Oh no, I just gave permission for Sherry to play Christmas music in the summer in the office. But we celebrate, right? Celebrate Jesus at this time in the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. Today, we're at the last week of Advent, and this morning, may we be reminded that God always comes through with his promises. As we approach Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus came as Messiah, the one who would save the people from their sins. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies spoken to him through the ages. In Jesus, we see a beautiful picture of the fullness of God. This season, we can receive this good news with joy. Anybody need some joy in their life? You can always use more joy. Surround yourself with people full of joy. That God loves us enough. He's gone to great lengths to rescue us. Most everybody in here today understands and lives a life that they understand they've been rescued from the grips of hell, from the grips of their own sin, from the grips of their own mankind. We've been rescued from the rescuer. So let's let the light of Jesus shine into our lives and then allow it to shine out of us as well. For the last 4 weeks, the church has been celebrating this Advent season as we've remembered the powerful promise of hope, peace, joy, and love that were given at the arrival when Jesus arrived here on earth. Advent is about anticipating the coming of the Messiah to rescue the world. As Christians today, we now anticipate the day that Jesus will return and make all things right. Christmas is marked by expectation on every level and every promise. In church, good things, great things, are worth waiting for. Amen? You remember that. Wait for your spouse. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know what I'm saying, I'll tell you after service. Good things, great things are worth waiting for. Amen? Quick story. Here's a personal story. As a child, one of my strongest Christmas memories is about anticipation. I remember as I waited to travel with our family to go to Southern Oregon to my grandparents' house so we could begin Christmas festivities with our extended family. We lived about 4 hours north of where my Holzapfel grandparents lived. We knew each Christmas season as we headed south, it really felt like it was going to take all day long, right? It was like less than 4 hours, but it felt like forever because we didn't have a DVD player. We didn't have a TV. We didn't have even portable video games at first. Can you believe that? I remember we'd sit and watch the van clock. You know, just keep going and counting down the minutes until we finally arrived. Anybody remember playing games out the window? Right? Count how many cows you see. Right? Oh, that sounds awesome. I can't wait. Right? Yeah. I found one that... There's that brown cow. That one gives chocolate milk, right? Or you like the ABC games, you know, and all these things, and you get to like Y and things like that, and you're just like, ah, should have gave up a long time ago. I remember playing those games, but there was no feeling like seeing my grandparents double wide as we pulled down this really long driveway. Now, where my grandparents live in Southern Oregon, it is absolutely gorgeous. The scenery is insane. I mean, you're like, you can be in the bathroom and look out the window in the bathroom, in my grandma's bathroom, and you see a mountain, right? We don't got that in our bathroom. We see the parking lot. It's weird. Don't look at my house. Okay. But we finally pull up this long driveway, and we're so excited, and I can't wait to get there. We get out of the car. We run right up to Grandma. We give her a big warm hug, and Grandma ends the warm hug with a, come on, sister, a kiss. Every time. She always kisses us on the cheek. Every single time we see her. And so that's how that's ended. I know I totally put you on the spot. Now you remember? Yeah? Yeah. Grandma is a kisser. She is so sweet. As we walked in, I always remember it being really, really hot in one room. One room was so hot. They had a wood-burning fireplace. I was supposed to heat the whole room. So one room was on fire, and the other rooms at the end were cold. And then we had to walk by Grandpa, and there's this stinky cigarette smell. I mean, it was bad. And he always sat by this air purifier that obviously didn't work. And I don't know why my parents didn't buy a new one for Christmas every time we came. Oh. But do you think that stopped me? You think that stopped me from running up to that Christmas tree to see the presents? I can't wait. Which ones have my names on it? And I'm going to shake it, and then Grandma gets mad, and Mom gets mad, and then I wait till they go to the other room that's on fire, and then I shake it again. And no, that, I never, not one Christmas, was I not excited to go down to Grandma and Grandpa's house and to see what was waiting for me. The Christmas has a positive characteristic to it. It has many positive characteristics for many people. How about time spent with family? That can go good and that can go bad, right? How about food that is shared? Christmas is not a time to be on a diet. Oh, well, that's, look at all those goodies. I think I'll take a carrot stick. Right? You know, in Christmas, carrot sticks are oh so lonely, right? Hanging out with all the other garnishes that why do even people spend money on it? I don't even know. That's for January. Just wrap it up, put it in, wait till January, right? Where people make all these promises that last 3 weeks. Gym memberships go skyrocket, and then in February, they just plummet. How about gifts and games and laughter? Relaxing and lots of watching sports and watching movies. How about the cold weather? How about all the lights? And maybe even a little bit of snow. I choked that out. There's so much to look forward to. Sometimes it makes it hard to wait for. The very first Christmas ever was an event that was a long, long time coming. Hundreds of years of promises waiting to be fulfilled. The people of God were familiar with the promises that had been given to them hundreds of years before a manger and angels or wise men or even a star appeared. They trusted God's faithfulness and they believed that he would come through. Finally, in a tiny city of Bethlehem, a young couple named Joseph and Mary found themselves in a farm shed behind an inn that was too full to even accommodate a pregnant woman. If there is a, right there, hey, there's a stinky manger that the Savior of the world would be laid in. From God of the universe to a vulnerable baby, now wrapped in swaddling cloth. There's more than one account in this miraculous event in the Gospels. Today I want to visit this moment in time in a different way, from a different vantage point. If you got your Bibles today, please open to John chapter 1. If you're in the front, you need a Bible, it's right below you. If you're in the pews, it's right in front of you. If you're at home, go get that Bible in the other room where you know where it's at. Go ahead and grab your Bible. We're going to go to John chapter 1. John is a gospel. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the very beginning of the New Testament. These are all gospels. They're all the accounts of Jesus and the stories of Jesus. And we can learn tons and tons about who God is and how much he loves us through these gospels. So we're going to open up to John chapter 1. And I want us to learn this morning from an account that does not have all the traditional characters in it. This is not a familiar story that we usually hear about for Advent. I'm going to start reading in John chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. It says this, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. I love that. The way this version of the Christmas story goes is there's a light that enters into the world. Light was born into a dark world that was full of sin and full of darkness. This is not just any light. This is the true light. The light everyone has been waiting on. Jesus says to his followers in Matthew chapter 5, do you remember what he says to his followers? That they're to be the salt of the earth and what? The light of the world. Now, the dictionary defines light as this. It's a source of illumination. What does the light do? I wrote down four things that a light does. Number one, light makes darkness disappear. Light is defined in the dictionary as a source of illumination. Number four things I wrote down, what light does. Number one, makes darkness disappear. Number two, it reveals. Light reveals. Number three, light awakens. When the sun comes in to my daughter's room, she usually awakens. And number four, light, what does it do? It warns. It warns. In Oregon, where I grew up, there's these beautiful things that people drive all over the nation and sometimes all over the world to see. It's called a lighthouse. And it's cool. There's somebody up there that mans this lighthouse. And back in the day, they used to have a candle or a, I guess they would have candles and then they had lanterns. And now they have, you know, things that are digital. But that lighthouse is one of its main purposes to say, stay away. You're close to shore, right? So I love that. What does light do? It makes darkness disappear. It reveals, it awakens, and it warns. One of the reasons we see lights everywhere during the Christmas season is because it is a constant reminder. While many of us are familiar with the story of a baby in a manger, it reminds us that there is also a great light. A light that has come into the world to brighten up what otherwise might seem to be dark. Anybody heard anything dark lately? Anybody work with anything dark? Nobody from the office, please answer. Have you been around or felt any darkness lately? See, John gives us a warning within this passage about the dangers of missing who this true light is. We'll go back to the scripture in John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 now. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came into his own people, and even they rejected him. As Jesus miraculously came into the world, this is a world that he actually created. He created, and it was held together by him. The world did not recognize him for who he really was. This is a tragedy. Tragedy, actually. And somebody in here today, there's something that you're going through right now, and it's actually God. It's actually God, and don't miss it. Don't miss it. What you're going through right now is actually God. And sometimes God, he chastises the ones that he loves. You're going through something hard because he's purifying you through the situation that you're going through right now. There's something in your life that's very, very hard because you've made bad choices and you haven't listened to the easy way, so he's going to take you through the hard way because he loves you. Because he loves you. But this is a tragedy. They didn't even recognize who he was. They've been waiting for him for hundreds of years, all these prophecies fulfilled. They don't even recognize him. Many were waiting. They were anticipating for the Messiah to appear, to redeem all that God has created, and to bring back peace to the world. But when the Messiah shows up, the majority don't recognize him. But why? Why? How can this be? How could these signs not be clear? How could he fly under the radar? Here's unfortunately the main reason. Jesus didn't look like the kind of Savior that they were hoping for. Sometimes in your life, God doesn't do the things that you've expected him to do, but it's still him. They thought that Jesus was going to be promised, he's going to be this military warrior that would come and overthrow Rome. Now, some of you might know this, but this is a reason why many people follow Muhammad, because he was a great military leader. Here's another reason why people didn't know about Jesus and who he was. They thought they were going to be promised this activist who would lead the Jews in protest and over oppressive powers. Instead, what God had promised was even better. Better. More powerful than a military might. It was better. It was more powerful and better than any activist rally you could be a part of. Better. John 8:12 says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said this: I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. But this light came into the world with a humble birth, God in the flesh, sacrificial life that would free the world from sin. A true light that came into the world 2,000 years ago in a little tiny town called Bethlehem. All my tiny town people say, hey! Some of y'all live in tiny towns. Good things come out of tiny towns, amen? Amen. I can't live there, because I'll meet everybody in 2 weeks and I'm bored. Like, I don't want to know what you ate for dinner. Like, that's not the new next thing I want to know. I want to know all your relatives and all your neighbors, right? That's just me. But great things happen in tiny towns. Jesus came to the rescue for his fellow Jews and to take that hope to the ends of the earth. But they didn't accept him. His life was a gift that was never received. Now, I don't want you to leave today, church, without being offered the greatest gift that has ever been received this Christmas season. Not only that, but I'd love for you to receive this gift. Don't want you to miss it. Can't miss it again. Jesus, he was born into the world for all people. Say this: that means me. Wow, five people were excited. That means me. Jesus came into the world for all people. That means me. Say, that means me. Jesus came for you. He did. Came for your neighbor. Came for your auntie, your uncle. Came for your neighbor. He came for that terrible boss. He came for that neighbor that drives you nuts. He came for all the people on the news that lie every day. He came for all these people, broken, hurting, lost, full of fear, full of pride. He came for all of them, every single one. And he came to rescue you. He came to free you from you. He came to free you from your sin. But he didn't come like other people thought he'd come. I think I said this last week or 2 weeks ago. If Jesus would have came like a military warrior, he would have died just like Muhammad is dead. And oh, great, you had a bunch of wins and a bunch of wars, but where is that now? See, Jesus didn't want to come and just take over Rome, which eventually that empire would fall, like every other Babylonian or Assyrian or whatever other empire that we read about has fallen. Just so you know, not all empires will last forever. Only the kingdom of God will last forever. Watch where your allegiance is. But if Jesus would have just came as a military leader and overthrown Rome and established Israel and parts of Judah and anywhere else and just expanded, and what would that have done? Eventually, all these people would have died, and then where would we be? But Jesus came more powerful than any military leader will ever be, because he came to break the most important thing, and that is sin. That's what separates us from God, and that's what kills us within. That's what kills us. We don't want to miss him. You can receive him into your heart, and you'll never miss him again. So John goes on to tell us why this gift of God and Jesus Christ must be open. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 12 and 13 now. Keep reading. But to who all believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but the birth that comes from God. To those who receive Jesus as the greatest gift of God, they are given the rights to become children of God. This is different from children who are born of earthly parents, a father and a mother. Different because they are born, they are spiritually become children of the divine. They are now spiritually alive. On the day of your birth, you're considered, see, we believe, right? If you wonder what this church believes, we do not believe in abortion that is killing children. We don't believe in that. If you've had an abortion, we believe there's restoration for your life. We do. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. What has been done is done, and what is under the blood is under the blood, and now you can move on in your life. God loves you so much. For whatever has happened, we all fall short of the glory of God, all of us. But we believe that life begins at conception. Because God has a plan for that little baby. In your mother's womb, there's a plan, there's a purpose in your life. But there's something different about being born out of your mama and being born out of the Spirit of the living God. There's one thing about having parents that are here on earth that will eventually die, and then having parents that will live forever, right? The Father, your Father in heaven, Abba Father, that translates into daddy, right? An intimate way to say, you are not just some father who punishes me and stands over there and is always mad and always wants productivity, like, make me proud, boy, right? That's not the Father we serve. He's Abba Father, he's daddy. He's the one that wants to know. He's the one that cries with us, holds us, loves us, encourages us, pushes us, pulls us, carries us. He's the one that's always with us. He's the one that never leaves us. He is the Father. He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins 2,000 years ago, and then he ascended to heaven, and he says, it's better that I go because my Father's sending another, and the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us, is around us, and he's always with us, and he should be shining out of us at all times because God loves us. He is Abba Father because we are reborn in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I'm alive today, and however many days I have to live, I want to live in the Spirit of the living God, right? Not just in the physical parents that birthed me, right? Thank you, Mama, for what you did, and now I need to serve my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. What was I saying? Now they are spiritually alive. Amen. God becomes their Father. And in love and mercy, he forgives them. Somebody in here today, you need forgiven. Like, no, I have been forgiven. Yeah, but you haven't forgiven yourself. You are bound by that because you think that you've been forgiven, but you offer forgiveness to God and say, God, forgive me, and these other people forgive me, but you hold yourself captive because you won't forgive yourself. And when you don't forgive yourself, you really, truly didn't ask God to forgive you, because you won't understand forgiveness until you forgive one another, you forgive other people, and you forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. That's what a father does. Our Father in heaven, he forgives us. He provides for us. He guides us, and he protects us. These people that are reborn in the Spirit, not with physical birth, resulting in human passion or plan, but birth that comes from God, these people, these children of God. That means that you're a sibling, a spiritual sibling of Jesus. Huh? What? Most everybody in here most likely is not of Jewish descent completely. You are more likely what the Bible calls is Greek, or you are a Gentile, you are of mixed race, or you are not of God's chosen race. So what's amazing is when you invite Jesus into your heart, you are reborn, and you have a new inheritance. Not of this world, but of the world that is to come, and the world that is in heaven right now. You are reborn, and you have a new inheritance. I've been grafted in to Abraham's seed. And that doesn't make a lot of earthly sense, but it makes a lot of spiritual sense. And when you're a child of God, that means you are a spiritual sibling of Jesus, who is the Son of God. So you're going to inherit things that Jesus inherits. How about this? An eternal home. You're going to inherit a resurrected body one day. He's the first. We're all going to inherit a resurrected body. You're going to inherit joy unspeakable. If you are walking in the Spirit, you will have joy in all circumstances. You're following God, no matter what takes place, you can have what Jesus has, and that's the joy unspeakable. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus, the love of the Father, nothing. And through that, you can have joy that's unspeakable. Your whole world can crash down, and you can be like Job. We heard about that last week. You can be like Job and still worship God. That's not birthed of this world. What else are you going to inherit? You can inherit Jesus, the light. So you can reflect his light. Amen? So this Christmas, don't miss the light that has come into the world. Jesus has come to offer us fullness of life if we just receive him into our hearts. See, God longs to dwell in our hearts. God wants to be not only part of your life, he wants to be your life. Right? Ooh, Jesus is not an additive. You don't just sprinkle him on things. He's the main course. He's all that you need. He's everything. Right? God came into the world in the flesh to dwell with us. Now, the last verse in this passage, it speaks to this. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, so the Word, right? Pastor Mark said that earlier when we were talking about different names of Jesus. So the Word became human, and some versions say flesh, same thing, and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Something important to notice about this verse. Jesus is something else other than the light. What is he? He's referred to as what? The Word. Right? That was a cool thing I used to say in the 90s. Word, right? And something's cool, and they're like, what? And instead of saying what, you're like, Word, right? I don't know. You can still use it. Bring it back. Resurrect it. Hallelujah. It was cool. Was cool. Thank you. Thank you, sister. My sister said was. I'm literally going to use that multiple times with you this week. Merry Christmas. Word. There you go. Word is born. And you even have that northeast accent. I didn't know what you said the first time you said it. Hallelujah. Word is born, right? Park the car. I've been practicing. We got to hang out. Amen. Word is born. Hallelujah. See, Jesus, he's the Word. You notice in the verse, it's capitalized. Jesus is the Word because he's the fulfillment of all things that were written about him. He's the Word. All the prophetic promises are made true in him. Word! Okay, I did it. Okay. We get to see God's Word in the flesh. We all get to see the glory of God in one man. If you want to know what God looks like, you don't have to look any further than his Son, Jesus. The incarnation, the nativity, Emmanuel, Jesus. You don't got to look any further than him. Jesus is the perfect representation of God that came full of grace and truth. I love this about Jesus. Jesus meets us with grace. He meets us right where we're at. Not where we should be. Not where the church thinks you should be and how you should act and what you should do in your life and the religious. Right? You got to come and dress like pastor and wear a suit. No, you don't. You come as you are, as broken as you are. I love that about his grace. You come as you are and not who you should be. And I love this about Jesus. He's not only grace. Right? There's a terrible, terrible teaching in the United States of America all about grace. Do whatever you want, live however you want, say a prayer, live however you want. There's not a single story in the Bible that talks about that someone who served God was not transformed and changed in every aspect when they accepted Christ or saw the gospel or even Jesus. Even the man next to him on the cross knew at that moment he was transformed. Like you are not, I'm going to say it, you're not saved if there's not a transformation in your life. If there's not something that's changed within that eventually will show on the outside, then you really haven't given God your heart. You really haven't. God, Jesus is transformation. That's what I love about Jesus. It's not only grace, but grace is where it starts. Jesus also meets us with truth, which tells us we can be more than we are right now. I don't care if you've been sitting in this church or any other church for 50, 60, 70 years. It doesn't matter if you grew up and you're born and raised. You can always give God more. There's always something. Always something you can give more. I love this, that I learned this in sports. There's always more. There's always more to give. You're never at 100% giving everything. You can always give more. There's always more. Strive to be better. Strive to be more like Christ. When you think you've arrived, that's where you've fallen. That's where pride is. And then now you're at the beginning of all sins. Congratulations. You've arrived at the beginning of all sins, but we can always give God more. His grace says where you are at right now, he loves you. He came here. He died for you. But his truth comes and says, now give me this. Now give me that. Ooh, that thought you just had, lay that down. That thing that just came out of your mouth, ooh, give it to me after you apologize for what you just said. Right? And then my heart is wicked. When I see that person or act like that or whatever's going on, whatever's wicked in me, see it in my heart and take it. Right? And then teach me how not to do that again. Walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Be born out of something other than just the humanity that you are. The truth of Jesus reveals the sin within our hearts, and the grace of Jesus removes it. As Jesus shines into our lives, he makes us new. Here's the beauty of Christmas. It's not that Jesus just shines into us, but also that Jesus shines through us to glorify the Father. How do I know that? The Bible teaches me in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. In the NLT, it says this: you are the light of the world, like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead of putting that basket over top, you use that basket to put it on, right? Instead of a lamp placed on a stand where, this is what you're supposed to do, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out. Church, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. So why? That everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I'm going to teach something today. And faith without works is what? Good. You just volunteered to do something today. Praise God. I'm glad, because that's what the end of the service is going to be. It's easy to be overwhelmed by the pain and suffering of this world. It's really, really easy, especially right now. This may be one of the darkest times. I heard this from some people that are older than I. They said this is the darkest, most difficult, strangest time I've ever lived in. It's easy to be overwhelmed by pain and suffering in this world. The key is believing that Jesus can help you spread the light of hope. Key. I want to tell you a quick story. So last Christmas, in Duxbury, Massachusetts, come on, Northeast, what's up? Joan Sullivan, I did not practice good enough. I could have done it all in that accent, but I did not know that was going to happen. Text me next time. All right. Duxbury, Massachusetts, there's this lady. Her name is Joan Sullivan. She just had two major doctor's appointments the day before, and she already expected the next day to be very hard. Until a light of hope appeared on her front doorstep. Her video doorbell captured, ding dong, the image of a small child dressed as an elf leaving something on her doorstep. It was a card that said, quote, "Thank you for spreading Christmas joy. We love your lights," end quote. As Joan played back the video, she could also hear another child shout, "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year," as the elf scampered away. Now, Joan, in this interview, she said this. This was so cute. Filled my heart with love and joy. It was just wonderful because of what we're all going through. I thought, there is kindness in this world. End quote. Church, sometimes we don't even realize the hope, peace, joy, and love we are giving the world by the light that we shine as followers of Jesus. There are big things in little godly deeds. Slow down and look around. When we love others, when we serve others, encourage others, and live our lives like Jesus, the world will notice. And they too will say, "We love your lights." Okay, before we close this morning, I want you to pull out your cell phone. Some of y'all are already on it right now. I see you. I literally have a great vantage point. You're pretending you're taking notes, but really you're texting somebody or you're on the internet. And I got those guys in the back watching for me. Just point to the ones that were not listening, okay? You guys next week have to come to the front. I want you to take out your cell phone, okay? Everybody got the cell phone? Put it in the air if you have it. Put it in the air like you care, okay? Some people put it in the air like this. That means you don't care. It's little. It's a Pentecostal church. We got to go way up, okay? Yes, the pastor is asking for you to take your cell phone out right now. There's a reason. I want you to turn on your flashlight. Turn on your flashlight on your cell phone. You don't know where it's at? Ask your neighbor who might be younger, who could help you. Praise God. I got a flashlight on this thing? Woo! Things usually just work when I hit it. Okay, you got your flashlight? Turn off all the lights, please. Tech team. Them all off. Okay, turn them all off. Here they go. Look at that. Cool as that. Now you see, church, your light might seem small. It might seem small, but it is more powerful than you think. You can help light up a dark situation for the ones around you so they can see more clear. Your light is truly a source of illumination. And true light lights the path ahead. Amen? All right, go ahead and turn off your lights. See how dark it gets? All right, go ahead and pull up the lights, please, tech team. Now, the light of the world came 2,000 years ago, and he was laying in a manger. When Emmanuel came, the powerful promise of hope, peace, joy, and love were fulfilled in the arrival of the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. John 1:9 says, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Yeah, Brent, if you just come, you can come up now, just Brent only. You can get on the keys or your guitar, either one. We're going to do something in a second. Rest of worship team, just hold up. I got something for you. If you have your cell phone and you're on the worship team, take your phone out. That's what I asked everybody to do. I need you to do it, please. John 1, verse 9 says, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." This light was born into a dark world full of sin and brokenness. is not just any light, this is true light. Okay? Right? A lot of people say there's truth, but there's real truth. Jesus is the, there's another word, the truth and the life. And this true light gives light to everyone else who's coming into this world. And this true light is what everybody's been waiting for. Even the ones that aren't looking, they're waiting for this light, even if they don't know it. You know Jesus loves you even if you don't know anything about him? You know Jesus loves you even if you don't love him? How do I know that? Because Jesus first loved us before we even knew anything about a man named Jesus. People you know right now are waiting for the light of the world right now. They're waiting for true light. Now our influence, church, look at me, our influence, it might seem small or it might seem great. We may think whatever it is, but it can be seen. Jesus has called us to be audio-visual Christians. The Christian light is something that is meant to be seen. We've been taught many times before that, hey, don't let everybody know what you're doing and this and that. I know there's a teaching, don't let your, you know, left hand know what your right hand's doing, or there's that teaching. But there's also a teaching from Jesus that says that you should let everybody see the light that's in you. Should let everybody know what you're doing. Why? See, your right shouldn't know what your left is doing, because that's when you get the glory. But if you allow the whole world to know the light and the things that are inside of you, it says that the heavenly Father should receive all glory. Okay? You see, your light might seem small, but it's much more powerful than you think. And lights that are kept under a bushel basket, they make no impact. You question, should I say that on Facebook? If it's not going to rip somebody or hurt them or tear them apart, yes, you should. There's enough darkness. Is it light from the Lord? Don't hide it under a basket. Christians that are void of visible deeds of compassion, that influences no one. Our Christianity should be vibrant and it should be visible. Darkness of evil will never overcome or extinguish God's light. So shine, church, shine. Now, we aren't called to save the world. Do you know that? You're not called to save the world. Jesus did that. But you are called to make a difference. You are. Every single person in here and anybody watching online, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're an ambassador. That means you go with the name of Jesus. You go with his agenda. You go with his authority. You go with his anointing. You go as a representation of Jesus. We are called to let our light shine among everyone in the darkness. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And you guys said it before when y'all amen. We can do something right now, and we're going to. Before we leave, we're going to let our light shine from the true light in a different way into this dark world. All right, here's your three options. Get your phone out. You got your phone? Awesome. If you have data and don't need Wi-Fi, please take the Wi-Fi off, because it will suck things down, and then people online will be like, you know, and I'll be like five steps behind saying something, and they're like, what? Because it'll suck the bandwidth. But if you're have your phone right now and you have data that you can use instead of the Wi-Fi, please switch to that. Now here's your three options. Number one, to let your light shine, I want you to do it either on social media. Okay, there's option one. Here's option two, a personal friend or a family member. Here's option three. Both of those. I know. Right? That's where you got skills, right? I know. One, two, three. Social media, personal friend, or family member. Just think about it. I don't want you to do anything right now. I just want you to think. Which one is it? What choice do you have? And then it says, Brent, please come up. You have 30 seconds to decide. Anybody having a hard time deciding? Raise your hand. I'll tell you. I'll tell you what to do. Anybody? Raise your hand. Everybody have it in their mind? Friend? Okay, you social media. You got a lot of friends on social media. Friend, family, or social media? Or both? Or all? Okay. Every single cell phone, right? In the next 5 minutes before I close the service, every single cell phone, including mine as well, I want you to put something on social media about love, hope, or joy, or peace, or something about Jesus Christ to the entire world to see. Or I want you to text somebody. Text somebody you love, a friend or family, or I want you to call them. Yes, don't leave this room. He's gonna play this soft for 5 minutes-ish. And I want you just to call him. And all you have to simply say is, hey, I was at church today. I'm actually at church now. You know, that's it. But I was at church today and you came upon my heart. And I just wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you so much. Or say, I know what you're going through and God knows too. And I want you to know, I'm gonna pray for you right now. Can I pray for you on the phone? If you wanna make that call, do it right now. It'd be great to hear this kind of thing happen in church. This is what church is about. It's not sitting soaking and just listening. We are gonna let the things of God take place in our life. So if you have a cell phone right now, I want you to do that. If you didn't bring your cell phone or you don't have one, I want you to write something down on a piece of paper or some other way of what you're gonna do when you get home to an opportunity, a computer or something or person. See, Miss Emily's already calling. Come on now. He's gonna play for 5 minutes. He's gonna play for 5 minutes. Hope, peace, joy, and the love of Christ to a world that is hurting, a world that is dark, a world that needs the light of Jesus. Do it right now. You're at home. I want you to do it at home too, right now. I want you to do that. Or if you're watching later on, whenever you're watching, this could be 3 years later, it could be 2 days later, 5 hours later. Stop right now, whatever you're doing, unless you're driving, pull over. And I want you just to send something, call somebody, tell them right now. Spread true light to a dark world. Phoenix, Arizona, one call. Keep going, we got about 3 more minutes. If you already did one and you got more time, do that. If you're on worship team and you've already sent something to someone, feel free to come up and join Brent. If you've already done that, or if you didn't bring your cell phone, if you wrote something down, okay, come on up. Pick another person, call them. You got a few more minutes. God puts that in your heart. Go ahead and do that. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to shine light. About 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. One more call. Thank you. hey, honey, Jesus loves you. I just want to tell you, we're in church right now. Praise God. Amen. One more minute. Send it out. Send light into the world. Send it out. Give an opportunity. Peace, joy, hope, love. Send it to the world. Thank you. Thank you. 30 more seconds. If you're done, will you just go ahead and look at me? Give me a little wave. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. You people just finishing up. Didn't wave. Wave for you. Give you 10 more seconds. And if, when you finish, just look at me and wave if you haven't already done that. Okay, awesome. Okay. Church, I want to invite you to something. First off, next week, Pastor Mark is going to preach on Sunday. And I don't think he wants you to pull out your phones and text people unless you feel the leading of the Lord. So, but that's going to be on him. This is something that God gave me this service. But I just wanted to encourage you this week as well. I want to invite you back here on Christmas Eve. Right? We have a 1 hour. Anybody watching online, come join us. 1 hour service. The special candlelit service this Friday night. It starts here. It's in this sanctuary from 6:30 to 7:30. There's no children's workers. There's no kids workers. Everybody's coming in as a family or whoever you come. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring whoever. Anybody's coming to visit you, bring them here for an hour service, just Friday night, Christmas Eve. It's 6:30 to 7:30. It's going to be a wonderful time together, and all are welcome to come. Will you stand, please? Thank you for doing what I felt like God was telling us to do today. I think it was wonderful. I think it's going to be great. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. And Lauren, I don't know how you say your last name. Daigle, like bagel. Okay, Lauren Bagel, like cream cheese, hallelujah. Like she's never heard that, right? But if you ever hear this song on the radio or something like that, I want you to think in your mind, ooh, God is reminding me right now, are you singing this? Or someone else's. God is reminding me right now, I need to shine the light of Jesus, right? We reflect the light of Jesus. I need to reflect the light of Jesus to someone right then and there, right? So if you hear that song, be reminded that God is going to do that. I want to say Merry Christmas. We love you. We hope to see you Friday night.